Mark chapter number 16. Mark chapter number 16 and verse number, we're going to read verse number 1 through 8. I appreciate Brother Matt going with me this morning. I preached at that church up in Hayden and we had a good church service. Amen. And I appreciate him coming and singing and being my friend and going with me. Mark chapter 16, if you're there, say amen. The Bible says, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. This is a parallel passage to what Brother Tom read tonight. Verse number 2, and very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And when they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away from it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. He saith unto them, be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen, he is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you tonight, Lord, for most importantly, your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you, Father, that you sent him to die on the old rugged cross for my sins, Lord, for the sins of these people. And Father, I thank you that you not only died, but you went down and you defeated the devil. God, you got the keys of death and hell, and you rose again that third day, Lord. And Father, we thank you for that. God, this is the day that the world sets aside to celebrate that, and we appreciate that. But we as Christians know, God, every time we come together, we try to worship the fact that you're risen from the dead. And we thank you for that, Lord. I pray you bless this service tonight, God. You be with Brother Charlie, Brother Scott, Lord, as they're traveling and preaching tonight. Father, I pray you be with them, Lord, and bless this service. In your name we pray. Amen. We see here that very early in the morning, the two Marys came to the tomb where Jesus lay. And they arrived at the rising of the sun, but the Son of God had already risen. When I first started pastoring and I moved down here, I had personally never heard of a sunrise service. I don't know if they don't do that thing in Ohio or not or up north, but I never heard of a sunrise service. And so I started pastoring over there, and April came around, and they said, we're having a sunrise service at 6 o'clock in the morning. I said, well, amen. 6 o'clock in the morning, sunrise service. And I started praying about what God had me to preach, and I studied different messages, and the Lord gave me this message, the very first sunrise service. Amen. The very first sunrise service. He who is before all things rose from the dead before sunrise. And this is the very first sunrise service that ever took place. Has anybody ever been a part of a sunrise service? Amen. I heard a preacher today complaining about it. He said sunrise service was of the devil, but I see right here, amen, that this was definitely not of the devil. Amen. They had a sunrise service, and some churches do it, some churches don't do it, and that's fine either way. But there was a sunrise service that took place, amen. They showed up at the rising of the sun, and they came looking for Jesus Christ, but they didn't find him like they thought they would find him. But amen, they showed up that day. So I want to look at the very first sunrise service for a few moments this Easter Sunday. Number one, I'd like to say, look at whom they sought. Look there in verse number 6. Whom they sought. The Bible says in verse 6, and he saith unto them, be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth. You know what they were seeking when they came to the very first sunrise service? They were seeking Jesus Christ and him alone. Amen. I wonder that tonight, amen, this is the sundown service we're having tonight. Amen. On Easter Sunday. But I wonder why you came to church tonight. Amen. They went to the very first sunrise service and they were looking for Jesus Christ. And I'm afraid sometimes we show up to church and we're not looking for Christ. It's just something we're supposed to do, and we're just supposed to be there on Sunday night, and we're just supposed to be there on Sunday morning. But they had a focus, amen, and they were looking for Jesus Christ. They were coming to seek Jesus Christ, and they were coming to find him over everything. I think a lot of times, amen, the church and Christians in our homes, we've lost our focus, amen. Our focus ought to be Jesus Christ when we come to the house of God. Amen. Everybody looked nice this morning. Amen. You had Barney over here and all my kids were looking nice. And they were all dressed up and had their Easter clothes on, and I hope that no one came this morning trying to see what somebody was wearing. Amen. There's people that do that. I wonder what so-and-so is wearing today. Sure, some lady was getting dressed this morning saying, I wonder if anybody else is going to have this same dress on today. Amen. Before I go to church. And they're worried about that. They're worried about how they look and, amen, all those things. And Brother Brad was giving me down the road this morning about my purple shirt. I wear it once a year on Easter. My wife bought it for me. I've got to wear it at least once a year. Amen. Regardless of who makes fun of me. But I didn't come to church this morning to see what Brother Linton was wearing or Brother Matt. I came to church this morning to hear a message about Jesus Christ and Him risen and Him lifted up and, amen, Him dying on the cross and buried, and He rose again on the third day. I came to church this morning looking forward to hearing about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when they showed up to that tomb that morning, they came with one thing on their mind and one thing only, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what would help our church services out? If we all showed up looking for Jesus and not worried about what so-and-so's doing or what sister so-and-so's doing or brother so-and-so and not worrying about the bickering and fighting but focusing on Jesus Christ. Man, we'd have some good church services. There would never be any splits in the church. There would never be any arguments if it was all about Him. Too many times I go in these other churches and it's about the deacon and it's about the Sunday school teacher. It's about the treasurer and it's about this person and about what they like. And that's all wrong. It's about Jesus Christ. We could take some lessons from the first sunrise service. Amen. There was a lot of churches. Their sunrise service this morning was getting to breakfast. Amen. I saw some of the flyers. Come to sunrise service and we're going to feed you all this breakfast. Amen. And there's some people that went looking for breakfast, and I hope they found Jesus this morning. Amen. I hope they found Jesus. But they came that morning, and they were coming to seek Jesus Christ. Why do we come to church on Wednesday night? Amen. Why do we come to church on Sunday morning? Why do we come to church on Sunday night? Is it to seek Him? You know, we come to worship and praise Him, to praise God Almighty. That's why that ought to be the focus of church. And the two Marys, they came to the tomb, and they were seeking for the Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Psalms 119, verse 2, blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with their whole heart. You want to be blessed of God tonight? Seek the Lord, amen. Seek Him every single day. The ladies came back talking about meditation and prayer and those things. You know what all that is? That's seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. If we were to get up every day of our life and we were to seek God as soon as we got up in the morning and as soon as we woke up, seek Him, man, what a church service we'd have. What a revival that we could have if He was the focus, amen, and not everything else in the world. If He was you say, it's not always that way. No, it's not, but it ought to be. He ought to be the reason. They said the reason for the season during Christmas. He ought to be the reason for every single day of our life. Especially when we come to the house of God. There ought not be a service that comes by that we gather together that He is not worshipped and praised and that He doesn't show up and be in our midst. It ought not to be that way, amen? If we all came with Him as the focus. That's what these ladies were looking for. They sought the Savior. Not only that, but they sought to worship the Savior. Look there in verse number 1. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint Him. You know why they came to Jesus Christ that day? They came to anoint His body. That anointing is a type of worship. You don't have to turn there for sake of time, but over in John chapter 12, verse 3, it says, then took Mary a pound of ointment and spikenard very costly and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped His feet with her hair, and the house filled with the odor of the ointment. In Mark 14:3, and being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as He sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on His head. You know why they came to Jesus that day at the very first sunrise service that ever took place? There never was a sunrise service before this. Amen? There never was the very first one that ever took place. They came to seek Jesus, and they came to seek Him so they could worship Him, Justin. So that they could worship the Savior and bring that costly ointment, amen, and anoint the feet of Jesus and anoint his body and worship God Almighty. That lady with the alabaster box, that was the most expensive thing she had. But Jesus Christ was worth it that morning. And I wonder sometimes when we come to church, amen, what are we bringing to God? What kind of sacrifice are we bringing to him? What time have we given up during the week to pray and seek his face and to come to church to meet from God? Hey, I need to hear from God when I come to church, amen. And I hope and pray that we come to church to worship him. You know, both times there, in John and in Mark, the passage I just read, both times the disciples complained about the ointment being wasted on Christ. They complained about it. Amen. Man, I've been in church services before where I get up and shout, not here in other places, and you'll see somebody over there in the corner saying, there's no reason for all that. There's no reason for all. Hey, there's every reason for that. There's every reason to praise and worship God tonight. Amen. There's every reason in the world to do that. And they came to worship God Almighty. Why'd you come to church tonight? Amen. Why did you come to Gloryland Baptist Church tonight? I know it's something we do where there's Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, but what's the reason why we come to church? It ought to be to seek Jesus Christ, and number one, to seek him and to worship him. It's all about him. It's not about you. You say, I'm coming to get some help. Well, I pray you get some help tonight, but that's not the number one reason I'm here. I'm here because he's worthy. Because we do serve a risen Savior. Because we do serve a Savior that died on the cross for our sins. And because he died for me and he went to hell for me. He took my place in hell, amen. He went down there and defeated the devil and whipped him and brought the keys back out with him and came back up and rose again. I come to worship him. Yet, do you get a blessing from church? I absolutely do. I do get a blessing from church. You know what? It's after I worship him. I've come to church and not got a blessing before. You know what I wasn't doing? I wasn't worshiping him. I wasn't. I didn't come focused on him. I didn't come prepared to worship him. They came to the tomb that day to seek Christ, to worship him. They sought the risen one. They sought the risen Savior. Amen. It's sad that today in the world we live in, most so-called Christians, you can look at their life and you can't tell there's a risen Savior. You would think God was dead. Amen. All the belly aching and crying and complaining and moaning and groaning about everything in the world. You wouldn't believe their God's alive. Amen. You hear him talk and complain and complain and complain, and you say, man, do you really serve a risen Savior? You say your God's alive? Amen. Whom they saw, they came to seek Jesus. They came to seek him, to worship him. Look at number two. Look at when they came. When they came in verse number two. It says, and very early in the morning, the first day of the week. Hey, they did not find him exactly how or where they thought they would find him, but they did find him that morning. Amen. They did find the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Proverbs 8:17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. You know what it tells me by them getting up at the rising of the sun? That their priorities, that Brother Jordan preached about, were right. Their priority, hey, they didn't have a bunch of things to do before they went to go find Jesus. They didn't have a bunch of things to do before they went to go worship Jesus Christ. They got up very early in the morning, and there's something to be said about that, amen? Before our feet hit the floor when we get up in the morning, we ought to wake up thinking about Jesus Christ and saying, Lord, thank you for the good night's sleep we have. Thank you for my house, and thank you for my wife laying next to me, and thank you for my family and my children. And God, I just want to thank you for saving my soul. And God, thank you for being good to me and blessing me. All before we even start the day. Just seeking him early in the morning and coming to worship him. And then after we do that, God, would you bless this day? God, would you help me make the right decision? Would you help me do the right thing? And then get out of bed and start the day. Amen? Hey, seeking him early. Not just seeking him early in the morning. Every one of us ought to do that. But Ryan, we better seek him early in life. I bet you some of these older men and women of God that are in here that lived a hard life but got saved later on would say, I wish I would have had him when I was your age. I wish I would have fallen in love with him at a young age. There's some kids that are saved, amen, but that's all they are. We need some young folks to say, I want to fall in love with Jesus at a young age. I want to fall in love with the Savior, amen, early in life. You might have plans that you want to do, amen, but no, seek Jesus Christ first of all. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all, amen, a first, number one in your life. All, man, all, everybody's got plans, and Jesus Christ isn't a part of them. Jesus Christ, amen, is not a part of our everyday plan. And that ought not, it ought to be the number one thing when we wake up. Young person, that ought to be a desire in your heart to fall in love with Jesus. Amen. You say this morning, well, you know, I love Jesus. I'm talking about falling in love with Jesus. I'm talking about every thought that you have and everything as you go throughout the day. I'm talking about whenever you sin, your heart is broken, that you disappointed the one that you love. I'm talking about falling in love with Jesus at a young age. Early on in life, just getting a hold of God and getting a hold of the Holy Spirit and getting a hold of that book and asking God to do something with your life and falling in love with Him. Sought Him early in the morning, amen? They sought Him early. They came to see Jesus. They came and sought Him to worship Him, and they sought Him early in the morning. Not only that, but number three, look at where they went. It says in verse number 5, and entering into the sepulcher. You know where they went that first sunrise morning? They went to the very last known location of the Lord Jesus Christ. They went back to the last place they know that He was. Amen. And there's times, I think, in our Christian life that we're following along with God and we take a right turn somewhere. And we're off in left field, and next thing you know, we're sitting there and the preacher's preaching and the songs are being sung, and we don't feel the Holy Spirit of God like we used to. You know what it's going to take? Getting back to an old-fashioned altar and getting back to the last place where you and God got cross-laid. The last place where you took a right turn or a left turn and got off the same path as God Almighty. They went back to the very last known location of Jesus Christ. Amen. There's times in my life where I'll be sitting in church and I'm like, man, I just don't feel the Holy Spirit like I used to. And I read my Bible, or I'm not reading my Bible like I ought to, or whatever the case might be. I got to get down with God and say, Lord, where did I go wrong? Lord, where did I take a wrong turn? Where did I get away from You and get my heart back right with Him again? You know what the best place to do? Go back to the last known location, amen? The last place that you know God moved. And I'm not talking about physically speaking, but spiritually speaking. It might be all with a brother. Brother Matt might not have shook your hand and you got mad at him that day and ever since then. Amen? Just give an example this morning. I don't know what it is, but to go back to the last place where it was where you and God separated ways and get that thing back right with God again. These ladies went down to the tomb that morning, and they went there because that was the last place they know that they saw Jesus. And how many Christians, not just here but all over, are going through this life without the Lord Jesus Christ? They're saved. They're going to heaven when they die. But God's not a part of their life. They have to sit down and say, man, where did me and God get crossway? Where did I leave Him? Where did He leave me? Where did I get off track? I'm telling you this morning, I don't want to go through this life without God. I can't do it. I don't want to do it. I don't want to preach without Him. I don't want to go to work without Him. I don't want to raise a family without His blessing in my life. I don't want to do it. I need Him. Amen. If there's a place in my life where I get off course, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God through preaching or the Bible reading or whatever it is shows me, hey, this is where you left me. This is where we need to get right again. And it might be that you have aught with someone. It might be a mother or father, a brother or sister that you've done wrong, and you've got to go get right with that person. And God says, hey, that's the place where you left me right there. These ladies, they went back to the last known location. You say, man, I've been sitting in these services and I haven't felt the presence of God. Why not? Do you want to, amen? Do you want to feel His presence? Do you want God to be real in your life? Do you want Him to become alive in your life? I do. Man, where did you get crossways with them? Where did you go your separate way? They went to the last known location. The Bible says in the parallel passage of this in John chapter 20, verse 11, it says, but Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. As she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher. You know what Mary did when she got down to that tomb? The Bible says that she stooped down into the sepulcher. You know what it might take for some Christians to get back to where they're in line with God again? It's just going to take one time of stooping down and getting back down and finding God again. Amen. Finding God. Find out where we left Him. And it's going to start out by getting on our knees. You know, the Bible says over there in Ephesians, an offensive weapon that we have is this Word of God and it's prayer. That's a weapon that we have to fight the devil, amen? It's this Bible and prayer. And I wonder how some Christians are making it because there is no Bible and there is no prayer. We have to have God, amen? It's a necessity that we have Him. Whom they sought, when they came, where they went, and look at lastly, what they received. In verse number 5, it says, "And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment." You know what they found when they went to the tomb that day? They found a precious, precious heavenly treasure. They found a heavenly treasure when they came to that tomb. They found a vision from the heavenly one. You know what I'm telling you this morning? The Holy Ghost right here had not been sent yet. The Holy Spirit hadn't been sent back yet right here. But this angel showed up. But you know what we have today? We have the Holy Spirit of God, amen? And we have that Holy Spirit that lives inside of me that tells me that Jesus Christ is alive and well, amen? And He lives inside of me. These ladies went down to that tomb, and they found this angel sitting there. And I thank God for the sweet Holy Spirit. I thank God for good, old Holy Spirit conviction. I'm talking about where He bothers me about sin, where He bothers me about doing right and living right and trying to tell others about Jesus Christ. You know what they received when they went to the tomb that day? They received a vision from a heavenly one. You know what else they received there in verse number 6? "And He saith unto them, Be not affrighted." You know what they received that day when they went to the tomb? They received comfort. Man, what one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit. He's a comforter, amen? That's what they received when they went. You know what I want to get when I come to church? When I come to the AM service or the PM service or the Wednesday night service, I want comfort from the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. I want that conviction, but I want that comfort also. And I thank God for that comfort that He sends and brings. This world is not getting any better. Amen. And we need Jesus Christ and that comforter that's there. I'm losing some of you, so I'll finish up here. They found a vision from the heavenly one, a word of comfort. They found proof of a heavenly sympathy. They found assurance of victory. They found an evidence of a resurrection. Amen. They found all these things when they came to the first sunrise service. They found victory, victory in Jesus when they went to church. They found the evidence of a resurrected Savior when they went to church. Amen. When we come to church, do we find victory in Jesus? We sing the song, amen. We all know the song by heart. We don't even need a song book. But do we have victory in Jesus? Do we find that when we come to church? Do we find evidence of a resurrected Savior? Amen. I thank God our church is lively and that we do serve a risen Savior. And sometimes I can feel that God is alive when I'm here. You can feel it in the singing, in the worship, in the praising of God Almighty. The first sunrise service, man, they found victory in Jesus. They found evidence of a resurrection. You know what else they found? They found a great commission. Look there in verse number 7. This angel said, "But go your way, tell His disciples and Peter that He goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see Him as He said unto you." Jesus sent these women and said, "Go tell." Let me ask you this tonight. How many people have you told about the resurrection of Jesus Christ? I'm talking about taking it outside of the walls of these churches and telling people, "Hey, we experience the resurrected Savior, and we experienced the victory, and we experienced those things, but what about them?" Almost everybody around has heard of Easter. But you know what they think of when they think of Easter? A bunny, and eggs, and food, amen? What about a risen Savior? What about telling them about a God that died for them and that gave His own life on the cross of Calvary and that He went down to hell and took their place and He took the keys of death and hell from the devil, and He rose again from the grave. And He did it because He loves them. What about that message, amen? They received a great commission when they went to church. I thank God when I come to church, when Brother Charlie preaches, man, I get under conviction, I find comfort, and I get a challenge when I come to church, amen? a challenge to go out and tell somebody. But do we do it? Amen? Do we do it? We have gotten so comfortable. We have. We've gotten so comfortable with what we have here and with Brother Charlie and with all the preaching that we don't tell anybody and we don't care whether or not anybody comes to church. Whether or not anybody else gets saved. Amen? I'm just telling you the way it is. That track rack ought to be empty all the time with the amount of folks we have in this church. And they went to this first sunrise service and they received a commission to go tell. Not only that, but lastly, they received a promise. Look there in verse number 7. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto you. This first sunrise service, they showed up to seek Jesus. They showed up to worship him. They went down to the last known location of Jesus Christ. They received a heavenly gift from heaven, word of comfort. But you know the last thing that they left, that the angel left them ladies with before they left, was a promise that you're going to see him again. That was the very last thing. They said, you came looking for the body of Jesus, and I promise you that you're going to see him again. Amen. Go tell. You're going to see him again. And I thank God for the promise that I know I serve a risen Savior. But one day I'm going to get to go up there, amen, and I'm going to be able to see him face to face, the one that died on the cross for my sins, the one that loves me and blesses me, amen, the one that does all that for me. I'm going to be able to see him one day. There's that. Y'all still believe he's coming back, amen? I do this morning. All these things took place at the very first sunrise service. Man, what a service. I've been in some sunrise services, and I've enjoyed every one I've been in. But, man, what a sunrise service this was. Man, imagine being at the first sunrise service. But you know what? We get to experience the things that took place in the first sunrise service every time we come to church. We can. We don't always, but we can. Man, the first sunrise service. Whom they sought, when they came, where they went, what they received at the very first sunrise service.